Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, August the 7th, 2012, the home of our program, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's The Intelligent Voice. We're also the most powerful news talk station. Great reach on this station. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we post the program to three websites, my website, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We're live during the noon hour, Monday through Friday. We have another full hour for you today, starting with an update on the state's improving financial picture. Doug Ducey will join us. Mr. Ducey is the treasurer for the state of Arizona, the top money person in the state. Then we'll talk more about money with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley will have his Tuesday Moneymaker report, and Shelley's got a smile on his face, so that means the market is up for the day. We'll find out how much. At the bottom of the hour, an update from the Reed Park Zoo, where they have some exciting plans for the coming months. Then we'll close out the show with State Representative Bruce Wheeler. Representative Wheeler will talk about his campaign for re-election. We encourage you to join in the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Doug Ducey joins us now, the treasurer for the state of Arizona. Doug, how are you today?
Very well, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. The news is pretty good, I guess, when it comes to the state budget. We do have a surplus. How much, Doug?
Well, we just put $450 million away in terms of savings, so that's a very positive number. If you look at our operating balance where we are today, we have $1.6 billion in the what you would call the checking account, and that's to pay the state's bills. And that's $675 million more than we had at this time last year.
Some folks may have read in the Arizona Republic that the state budget surplus, we have $800 million in cash on hand, but you just said we had $450 million in the savings account. What's the difference there?
Well, I think that some journalists would use the word surplus. The state treasurer, as the state's responsible banker, would prefer to call it a positive cash flow. And the difference is really the amount of money we have coming in over and above the bills that we have to pay. So we are in a positive cash flow position today. At the same time, we have to remember that the 1 cent sales tax expires in May of 2013. So we want to have a cushion because we're going to be in a position where we have to continue to pay our bills with less revenue coming in.
Yeah, that temporary 1 cent sales tax expires at the end of May with 1 month left. That would be 1 month left in the current budget year. Then there's the Federal Health Care Act, which will strain the budget depending on the extent to which Arizona decides to fund its Medicaid population. So that's another issue that must be dealt with, huh?
There are a lot of issues that are coming down the pipe this election season that are not only economic but political and will affect our budget. And the health care one is as big as any of the others.
What about the state debt? Even though we have some money in the bank, we continue to have a lot of debt, don't we?
We do have a lot of debt. We have more debt than we should have constitutionally. Our debt size is manageable for the size of our economy, but what we need to do is begin to pay that debt down. And I think step one was putting $450 million away in a reserve account to have some money for a rainy day, for an economic downturn, and then to post a plan to pay that debt down and begin to pay it down. And that is really what I think is the next step for the legislature in this next session.
Doug Ducey is with us. He is the Arizona State Treasurer. He keeps an eye on the Arizona economy. What are you hearing, Doug, about the economy? Give us a snapshot.
Well, locally or statewide, our economy is slowly recovering. But nothing is going to help our state economy more than a rising national economy. And it really is the national economy that remains flat on its back with all the uncertainty around tax rates and health care costs and economic policy. So it seems like we're not going to get much movement going on nationally until we have some answers in this election. And you add to that the fears around what's happening in Greece and Spain and Italy, and our debt continues to mount here nationally as well. So we're headed in the same direction as them. This election cycle, to me, Bill, seems as an opportunity to slow down, hit the brakes, and reverse course into the right direction of living within our means and beginning to pay down some of our national debt, which I think would have the economy go wild in a positive direction.
So you think we may be headed in the direction of what's going on in Europe?
We are headed in the same direction as Europe. We are further behind them. We have a larger economy. Our economy is four times larger than anyone in the world. But at the same time, we're spending more than we bring in. And at the pace that we're on, we're headed in that same direction. I mean, this idea of living within our means, something that the state of Arizona has chosen to do in the last 2 years, is something that the U.S. government needs to do very quickly, or we'll be in big trouble.
How about our credit rating in Arizona? A year ago, wasn't there a downgrading?
A year ago, what they did is they changed the outlook from stable to negative. We've won back a stable outlook, and that's very much because we did balance that budget, because there were some painful political decisions made, but there was a belt tightening. The rating has not gone up, but the outlook has changed from negative to stable, and that in and of itself is a positive.
Forbes magazine, actually this was on their site, Forbes.com, Kelly Clay, a contributor, writes that Phoenix, is it the next Silicon Valley? What did you think about that article? I know you saw it.
Sure, I saw the article. I liked it. I sent it out via my Facebook page and Twitter feed, because I think that the opportunity for the state of Arizona is large in terms of economic development. I mean, we are a state where people vote with their feet and their U-Hauls and their Ryder trucks, and for decades we've been the fastest growing state in the country. Now, at the same time, we have fewer public companies in the state today than we did 10 years ago. So I think that's just been a lack of focus and direction on economic development and attracting and retaining headquarter offices. So it was nice for Forbes to put that article together, but I think we really have an opportunity as we come out of this downturn to attract headquarter offices and chief executives to relocate to our state.
And for folks that don't know, before you became the state treasurer, your background includes CEO of Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah, I got that right there.
Yeah.
Cold Stone Creamery. You mentioned that the headquarters are on the downslide. Why is that?
Some of it is merger and acquisition, where a company will be taken over by another company and their headquarters will be relocated, or they'll move the C-level employees out. Some of it is other states competing against Arizona and attracting headquarter offices out of our state. So I think it's twofold here. We do want to attract places that are leaving the Rust Belt, that are leaving Southern California, because they've made it difficult to do business there. But we also want to have a very robust business environment here of low tax rates that are broad and fair and don't pick one industry versus another, so that we can let the entrepreneurial spirit that exists in our own state, and you mentioned Cold Stone Creamery, which was a concept that was founded right here in the state of Arizona, and there are many other companies that have begun here that we should allow to grow and create jobs, and that's really how you get a healthy, robust economy.
Were you the founder of the Cold Stone Creamery?
I wasn't. I joined the founder as a partner. So I led the franchise effort, and my partner was the ice cream expert, and we put the combination together and had a lot of fun selling ice cream across the country and throughout the state.
So how are we going to sell Arizona? Are we selling the state to folks who are looking from California to move over here because of the economic situation in California?
I think that we want to sell what we all love about Arizona. We want to sell our quality of life, that this is a great place to live and this is an excellent place to work, and we all know how much fun we have playing here, and that we have an opportunity to get a great education in this state. And part of it is promotion. Part of it's communication. You know, there really isn't a chief executive officer in the country today, Bill, that woke up and said, boy, I'd like to relocate my company. But there are certain pressures, and California is a great example. I mean, we talk about having a balanced budget in Arizona, and we were worse off than California 2.5 years ago. And today, California has an almost $17 billion deficit in a one-year annual budget. They really have no choice except to raise taxes and to borrow money to close the gap. And it's going to push businesses away. It's going to push workers and employees out of the state. And Arizona is a perfect landing spot for them.
So you don't like that term rainy day fund, getting back to our state budget surplus. You would prefer to just call it money in the bank, right?
I like money in the bank reserve or savings. It seems like we flew through our rainy day fund last time so quickly, and I think we want to think of this as a true savings account. And if we think of the money, if you go to the Treasurer's website, aztreasury.gov, that number that you see on that website every day, that's the money in our checking account. That's to pay our state bills. That's to pay what it costs us to educate and what it costs us to medicate and what it costs us to incarcerate. So that's the money that we have in our checking account to pay those bills, to pay the teachers and the people that make the good things happen inside the state. But we also want to have, like any small business and like any family, you want to have some money set aside for that economic downturn or when things go different than what you want them to go.
Okay, Doug Ducey, State Treasurer for Arizona, thank you very much. We'll continue to follow you not only through the Treasurer's website, but your very popular Facebook page as you approach the maximum of 5,000 friends. I think last I looked, you were just like 70 or so short, so you're almost there.
Thanks, Bill. We set up another page if you want to follow the post, which will mostly be around financial activity in the state and nationally. So we'll keep the communication coming, and we'll have the clarity around the numbers in the Treasurer's office. And I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Doug. Have a great day.
You too, Bill.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food.
Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And Shelley Fishman, it comes down to trust, and Shelley is the guy that we trust here on the Buckmaster Show when it comes to financial information. Shelley, you were with me in studio listening to the Doug Ducey interview. I like Doug. He's a straight shooter. He tells you what's on his mind, but you were shaking your head and disagreeing when he said, "We are going. If we don't do something, we're going in the direction of Europe."
Yeah, well, the problem, by the way, hi. Good morning. The problem with saying we're going in the direction of Europe is it's difficult to know exactly what that means. Which Europe is he talking about? Are we going in the direction of Greece or Spain, or are we going in the direction of Germany and Finland and Estonia? So the generalization creates some problems. There is a clear danger in continuing spending, profligate spending. That needs to get under control. One of the things the successful European countries have done is they have been willing to tax their citizenship, and their citizens have been willing to accept that taxation such that their debt is less than that of the United States overall. If you go to Germany or the Scandinavian countries or even the Netherlands or Belgium, it's far less than the U.S. Europe overall is about 65%. We're at around 80% of GDP. So it's tough to make that statement that Doug made. I think it was more political than anything else. The statement that I really disagreed with, of course, is he said, if you simply stop spending and let the economy kind of take off on its own, it will explode. It will implode is what will actually happen. Most economists say this is not the time to stop spending. This, would, in fact, would be the worst time to stop spending. So we're on opposite sides of the economic case to be made for when you need to stimulate and when you need to strangle. And right now, I believe that would be strangulation, and that is not the right thing. The other thing, you know, Bill, I've heard especially the Republicans up in Phoenix talk about this migration from California to Phoenix for the past 5 or 6 or 7 years. It hasn't happened.
No, it hasn't.
And there's a good reason for that. First of all, there is some migration out of California, but not what, you know, we were certainly hoping for. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is that the labor pool in California is more skilled, better educated, and more mobile than ours. And as a result, headquarters and other high-tech companies don't want to move here. You get some that do, but in general, the brain drain is out of Arizona, not into Arizona. And that's a very, very serious problem. Unless we start educating our populace and we find a way to do it to the same extent that they do it in California. By the way, and even California's cut back a lot. We will not get that inward migration. You know, I remember the president of the Senate standing in front of the Chambers of Commerce and saying, all we have to beat is Alabama and Mississippi. And you know what? Sorry, folks. You got to beat California to attract Californians.
Shelley Fishman with us with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. You know, talking about Europe, how should Europe play into the diversification of our portfolios?
Wow, great question.
there's no way. Europe,
yeah. Okay, so Europe is by far our largest trading partner. They account for a great majority of our exports and not a majority of our imports, but a large amount of our imports. The thing is, when you have a world that whose economy is as interrelated as it has become over the past two decades, it's impossible not to have your portfolio exposed to what happens in other countries. So that it is very, very important that you be very aware within your portfolio of where those exposures are so that you don't overly duplicate them. That's very critical. You know, one of the things that is so important in where our markets are heading today is that we listen to what's going on in Europe with some trepidation. If Europe has a breakup of some sort in terms of the Eurozone or even continuing recessionary pressures, that is going to affect our ability to trade with them. Therefore, it's going to affect the profitability of our corporations here in the U.S. So we're very conscious of that. This current market run-up over the past week or two really got kind of started when the president of the European Central Bank made some probably premature statements about the support he was going to give. I think he got a little bit ahead of his board of directors. and then the following
week,
the markets reacted very well.
Started the kind of the ball rolling. We've had a pretty good week or so.
Yeah, we've had a very, very good week. We're up about 8.5% on the year right now. As you know, I don't think that's going to hold. But
your prediction is around 6.
About 6 or 7 for the year. But I must tell you, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, you know, we've blown past 13,000 again, and this time we've stayed there for a while. By a while, I mean more than a day or two. So it would be really great if the new floor is, you know, at 13.1, and if, you know, I turn out to be wrong, that's good. What I'm seeing at the same time as equities are going up is, again, we're seeing bond funds, both high yield and even the general overall bond funds and treasuries as well, continuing to hold on to their gains, which, of course, is contrary to the seesaw rule. So we've got bonds going up. We've got gold actually making a little bit of a recovery.
And the euro has stabilized a little bit. There's been some movement on the upside, which American businesses like to see.
Yeah. We want to see a little bit of a weaker dollar simply because it helps our exports. That's something I'm very concerned about. Is one of the headwinds we face. But right now, at least for the past couple of weeks, things have stabilized somewhat. And stability is good for markets.
Where can folks get a hold of you? What's the best way?
795-7950. 795-7950. Even I can memorize it. And that gets me at the credit union, at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. I return calls instantly. And, you know, that's the best way to discuss with me these issues, especially issues of balancing portfolios. Don't charge for the first consultation, and people who say, well, I don't really want to, you know, I'm very happy with my broker, I don't want to move, but I want a consultation, hey, that's fine.
And there is also a link on buckmastershow.com to Shelley Fishman, and Shelley does, as he say, he promptly answers his calls and emails. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed. And may lose.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. After a judge ruled him competent to do so, Tucson, Arizona shooting suspect Jared Loughner has pleaded guilty to killing 6 people and wounding 13 others in a shooting attack early last year. Among those wounded in that attack, then Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Loughner pleaded guilty under a deal that will see him avoid a possible death sentence. He'll be sentenced to life in prison without parole. U.S. gymnast Ali Raisman is going home from the Olympics with several medals, 2 of them gold. The team captain won gold in floor exercises today, about an hour after getting a bronze on the balance beam. Updating Wall Street, stocks are higher. The Dow is up 71 points. The NASDAQ ahead 29. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pedorthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Art, hiking, birding, exploring the Mugione ghost town, Silver City's historic downtown. Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great cool weekend getaway. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to the mile-high elevation city of Silver City. Plenty of great accommodations there in the area. Spirit Canyon Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon, all in Silver City. Check out more at Silver City, Grant County at www.southwestnewmexico.org. 12:34 now on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be focusing on the next 10 minutes or so about Reed Park Zoo in Tucson, gearing up for a busy month and a fall season. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Vivian Van Peenen, education curator for the zoo. Vivian, how are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me.
You have been with the zoo for about 17 years. Have you ever seen such activity going on with the expedition, Tanzania, and really upgrading the whole zoo facilities?
It has been an exciting year at the zoo, definitely. And I really am amazed to see how far our little zoo has come, and particularly in the past 5 years.
And tell me a little bit about how Expedition Tanzania is going, the new habitat for the five elephants.
It's wonderful. We've really gotten our new elephant staff up and trained and getting used to working with five elephants. You know, we thought working with two was difficult and maybe working with five would be twice as hard, but it's definitely challenging to navigate and work with five animals at once, but they are dynamic and exciting. It's a very active and educational exhibit, and we couldn't be more proud of our zoo and our community for bringing this to Tucson.
What kind of activities are you building in an educational experiences around the Expedition Tanzania?
We have terrific hands-on exhibits for kids. There's a shaded, very comfortable area in the exhibit where kids can play and learn about elephant adaptations and all of the conservation that's going to protect them. And we're in the process right now of installing webcams, part of a separate grant through our Zoological Society, where we will have cameras placed throughout the exhibit and we'll provide a live view of our active elephants that people can view from any computer at home or more importantly, in the classroom, and looking for ways we can engage teachers in science learning, particularly those that aren't able to make a trip to the zoo.
There was an effort to get the zoo or get the elephants some snacks to feed these majestic creatures. So I think you and your other colleagues put out a call to Southern Arizona residents asking for their leafy yard trimmings. And a couple of months ago, we interviewed some of the folks at the zoo about this when it was first starting up. How's it going? Are you getting some of these trimmings?
Yes, and it's going very well. We're mostly working with small to mid-sized tree trimming companies where we have experts that understand the different kinds of browse, what elephants like and what they don't like, but regularly are delivering small loads of leafy branches to the zoo that then go through our curatorial staff and then are delivered by zookeepers to the elephants. And it's provided a really nice diversity that we couldn't provide for the animals ourselves. Now, understand, they definitely get their normal healthy diet every day. The branches that we look for are a treat. It's a different taste, different textures, different size branches, just to provide them with that little extra fun throughout the day.
What do they like? What particular branches do
I don't know all of the different types. I know we get a lot of mesquite delivered, and they like some palm fronds and mulberry, things that are very edible and healthy. But again, all of that goes through our grounds maintenance staff and curatorial division.
Vivian Van Pienen is with us, the education curator for the Reed Park Zoo. It's been a very trying 12 months for the zoo. There was the accidental poisoning death of one of the four giraffes, then the controversy over the move of two longtime elephant residents to San Diego, and Connie passed away recently over there. How is Shaba doing in San Diego?
She's doing very well, and we are very confident that both Connie and Shaba were in excellent hands with our colleagues at San Diego Zoo. The exhibit was designed to care for and house aging elephants, and they really were able to provide both Connie and Shaba the type of support that they needed for Connie's life end. Shaba there is being integrated to the herd. We actually had a zookeeper out there this past weekend on her personal vacation, but made a special stop into the San Diego Zoo to visit with Shaba and was able to see her interacting with Mary, the matriarch of that herd in San Diego. Our keepers have a wonderful relationship with the keepers in San Diego who provide us with regular updates. And most importantly, as an accredited zoo, it's essential for us to maintain that relationship with our expert colleagues to do what's best for elephants now and into the future.
You have a lot of activities. We mentioned some of them for the children at the expedition Tanzania, but you also have Little Critters Workshop for preschoolers. So the kids, the older kids may be in school, but this would be great for preschoolers age 2 to 5.
It is. This is a program that we've had at the zoo for years, and really, you know, we always have a new batch of 2-year-olds every year, and it's an ongoing program where people can register online, and it's a 1-hour program that provides a great introduction for our preschoolers that usually involves a story. It's a very literacy-based program, a hands-on craft, and an opportunity to meet one of our education animals up close and personal.
Now, is that a monthly? I'm looking at your schedule here. It looks like that's kind of once a month.
We do it for a variety of dates throughout the year. During our busy visitor season, we do increase the frequency. But on our website at TucsonZoo.org, people can always see a listing of those upcoming dates for preschooler programs as well as elementary and middle school programs.
A lot of people love to take photographs of animals, and you have something called Photo Safari. This is for the adults.
It is. We occasionally will offer this program in conjunction with a local photographer that welcomes adults to the zoo, and we do a little behind-the-scenes tour and set up some perfect photography opportunities for people to come in with their own cameras, get a few helpful hints from the photography experts, but more importantly, just have the opportunity to see the animals in a way that they might not be able to just walking through the zoo on their own.
And again, that activity and the time is located on your website, TucsonZoo.org. I'm going to ask you to slip this headset on because we're going to take a call to the Buckmaster Show live line. I think we have Gloria with us. Go ahead, Gloria.
Hi. Is it an urban legend that the zoo began when someone abandoned an animal on city property and from there they decided to start a zoo?
I actually don't know the exact details. I do know that those types of things are discussed. And yes, the zoo did start with a very small collection of mostly domestic animals. There were prairie dogs at the beginning and goats and sheep and a variety of animals that were essentially dropped off on this small park area. And then the area was enclosed and received part of its first city funding over 45 years ago. And then elephants and camels were soon to follow. But yes, originally our zoo did start sort of accidentally.
Yeah, and I first time I lived in Tucson going to the U of A in the late 60s, I remember it was more of a, as you say, it was almost like a petting zoo. It was a great opportunity. The kids could go out and see the animals up close and personal. Now, I mean, they can still do that, but this is kind of, I guess, the way it began.
Yeah, it was more of a menagerie at the time.
Zoo Tucson is coming up. That's your big fundraiser, isn't it?
Yes, Zoo-son is
Zoo-son.
Held. No, that's fine.
Okay.
Zoo-son Feast for the Beast is held by our Zoological Society. It's a support organization that handles membership and lots of great events for the zoo. This is a benefit for the zoo. They have restaurants All throughout the zoo, terrific entertainment, auctions, live and silent auctions. It's a great time to come out and enjoy your zoo. It's an adult-only event, 21 and over. Tickets are available on our website, and it's a great way to come out and enjoy the beautiful fall weather in October and support your zoo.
And there's an ice cream safari coming up. You need to be a zoo member, but I guess you could go to the event and become a member right there, couldn't you?
Yeah, this is our members-only event. It's a great evening for kids. Animals are out, and we have unlimited ice cream while supplies last, but usually there's plenty there for everybody, and you can join and become a member right there at the gate or any time between now and then.
And that date is Sunday, August the 12th for the ice cream safari, and Rose, our wonderful producer, said she's sold. She'd love to be there as long as there's ice cream and treats and animals. She will be at the event. Okay, so we mentioned the Little Critters Workshop for preschoolers. There's also Young Explorers Workshop.
Yeah, those are for programs, a variety of different programs for ages 6 to 12. We change the topics and the focus every month, and we take kids behind the scenes and really give them a much more in-depth look at the zoo and how we function. So those programs, the children might be making diets for the animals or giving enrichment treats with the zookeepers. It's definitely more hands-on and shows kids what they can do to help the animals as well as get out there and do it the day of the program.
For more information, go to tucsonzoo.org. Vivian Van Peenen, Education Curator for the Reed Park Zoo, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
All right, coming up now on 1245 on the Buckmaster Show, Representative Bruce Wheeler is next.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com, We are watching Tucson.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon at 12:49. This portion of the program presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. We continue now with the Buckmaster Show candidate interview series. We're spotlighting the race for Arizona House of Representatives in District 10. 10 runs from Campbell Avenue in Tucson between Speedway and 22nd, opens up to the east, capturing Sabino and the Tancaverde areas. The House primary features three Democrats. The top two Democratic vote-getters will advance on to the general election. The three are Representative Bruce Wheeler, who was elected to the House in 2010, joining Mr. Wheeler in the race, Brandon Patrick and Stephanie Mock. And as I say, the top two vote-getters will face off against State Representative Ted Vogt and Todd Clodfelter, the GOP chair of the current LD 30. Joining us now, Bruce Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler was a state representative from 1975 to 77. He was on the Tucson City Council from 1987 to 1995, and then going back to the State House in 2010. Bruce, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
You know, it's just the comparison is so interesting. You are a very young guy. Not that you're an old guy now, but when you first went up to Phoenix in 1975, was that a shock to your system, what you saw in the House in 2010?
It was a big growing up shock. You know, some people laugh that I was the idealistic bomb thrower 40 years ago in the legislature, and now I'm the elder statesman who is a voice of reason and can talk to both parties and work with just about everybody. So, yeah, it was a big shock at an age of 26 when one is very idealistic to really learn the realities of politics is interesting, fascinating.
What happened to nonpartisanism?
It's a shame, in my opinion. It's, you know, people say extremists from both parties. The reality, though, is I answer them in a very nice way. I say, well, who are the extremists in the Democratic Party? Because the Democrats are really the reasonable party, with many Republicans crossing over and supporting Democrats, which is why I think we're going to pick up 7 seats in the House, and we may even just tie the Senate. You know, to put it in context, when I was in the legislature back in 75, Tom Goodwin was a Republican from Tucson, very moderate. He was the chair of the House Appropriations Committee. And believe me, he supported public education, the University of Arizona research and development programs, education at all levels. And we do not have that anymore. We have a Republican Party, again, my opinion, that eats its own and alive in primaries. They are very proud of the fact that they campaign on not compromising. They defeat senators like Richard Lugar in Indiana because he compromised, quote unquote, too much with the Democrats.
I see on your priority list you have bioscience, job growth. Bioscience, so important to the Tucson area and the state.
It's critical, and it's one of the real bright spots in Southern Arizona. We had a bioscience company move here from Switzerland. They bought a company in Southern Arizona. They're expanding. There is support from the University of Arizona and its labs in bioscience, which help attract these companies in this industry here, and they help in turn spin off many small businesses. So it's a win-win situation for everyone. And it's a good example, a really clear, perfect example of how the legislature and local governments ought to be supporting the university, higher education, and helping attract these really good paying jobs.
Yeah, everybody's talking about job growth in this election cycle. There's an area that really could get some high paying jobs with bioscience.
And we have been. I forgot the raw numbers, but the industry growth has been over 21% in the last 5-6 years, I believe. So it already is proving to be a job generator of good jobs, good paying jobs.
How about healthcare?
Healthcare is going to be a very large challenge by the serious cuts in putting freezes on eligibility for Medicaid. We are hurting the hospital industry. We're hurting doctors. And we are relying more and more on emergency room and emergency hospital care. Even paramedics in the Tucson Fire Department, that becomes the first line of medical defense increasingly. And that's putting hospitals at risk. It's also the inability to work on a health exchange program and allowing more people and small businesses to get health insurance is going to continue, and the freeze will help to raise our premiums, those of us who are covered, and to raise the cost of hospitals threatening their very own existence.
It's an interesting race, qualified candidates on both sides of the aisle in your district, and it's a pretty evenly divided district, isn't it?
It is. It's one of the two most competitive districts in the state. There's one in Phoenix, and there's this one here in Tucson.
This district, you were put into a new district, correct?
That's right.
How did that work?
We used to be 28. Now we're District 10. It includes much of what 28 used to be, but the northern part was cut so that Speedway's a northern boundary. And then we extend way over into the east side, picking up much of what used to be Legislative District 30.
What do you see then as the issue here? What will be the paramount issue between the Republican candidates and the Democratic candidates in District 10?
Well, the issues in this district are the same as they are in the state. We're a microcosm, really, of what the state is, and probably so because of the competitiveness, the even balance between the parties and the independents. It's education. It's an extremely important, critical issue, the support of public education. Classroom sizes are increasing. We're closing schools. We invest about $7,800 per student in Arizona, and we spend over $42,000 per prison inmate. We have a private, for-profit prison industry incarcerating many kids in there who probably shouldn't be in there. But anyway, education is certainly critical. Healthcare, jobs, the economy, which we were mentioning earlier, is just as critical.
Got to ask you a question about the Tucson City and Rio Nuevo, because you were a council member from 87 to 95 when there was talk about developing. There's been talk over the years of making downtown come alive again. What are some of your observations about the way things have gone?
You know, on a humorous side, when I campaign door-to-door and I tell people I was on the city council 17 years ago, I laugh and I say, not this city council. And they go, oh, good. You know, it's really a shame that Rio Nuevo was squandered by some of the people that are still on the city council. I know the mayor, and I give him a lot of credit for trying to change things, and I think he is. But serious mistakes have been made where you have $230 million having been spent and really not much at all to show for it. I think it's a failure collectively on the city council. And, of course, you have some that are doing better than others. I mean, Council Member Kozacik is pointing out some of the issues that need to be brought up.
And it really is, it has become a state issue, because this is something that Phoenix has gotten involved with, and there's talk that if this current reconfiguration of the Rio Nuevo Governing Board doesn't get its act together, that the lawmakers in Phoenix will step in and pull the plug. What do you think?
Well, that is the danger, because Rio Nuevo, the concept, is a great concept. We need it. It's just that it's been horribly mismanaged. And then you have the latest game in which the board was considering buying or putting an option on the Manning House. Once again, yet taking the eye off the ball. It's supposed to be for a hotel and a convention center, and these people keep drifting off onto these other things. So the danger is that pretty soon everyone's going to get fed up, and it's going to be cut, and I think that would be a shame. So I'm supporting Mayor Rothschild and some members of the city council who are really doing their very best to keep it going.
You've got to do something about the TCC, and they've got to do something quickly about that.
No question.
I mean, it just can't keep going on like that. You're right. The main focus was supposed to be a downtown hotel and the TCC. Your own campaign, you're going door to door, I assume?
Still going door to door. I am confident. However, I'm certainly not overconfident. I think I'm going to win the primary, and then I'm going to work really hard to win the general election.
And your website?
BruceWheeler2012.com.
How's your photography career coming?
It's on hold.
And your travel? I know you love to travel the world.
This is election year, so everything is election and taking care of constituents. In addition to campaigning, Bill, you know there are a lot of constituent issues that have to be met, so I'm busy.
Thanks a lot. Bruce Wheeler, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by our friends at Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home and business. That's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and we will be back with you tomorrow at 12:04, and our featured leadoff guest will be, speaking of the city, Councilwoman Shirley Scott will be our leadoff interview tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Hope you have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.